Well, welcome to church. Good to have you guys here. For those of you online, glad you could join in with us today. What an incredible opportunity of worship. Wasn't that awesome this morning? Woo! Amazing worship time. And just hearing a little bit more what's going on in Guatemala and what's happening there. And in a little bit, we'll talk more about international missions. But it is our philosophy and process here at CTK by which we don't just go on mission trips, we go on building trips. And that doesn't mean we're necessarily building buildings. We're building ministries. So we don't just pick a place out and go. We've been in these places for a long time. Casa Bernabe Orphanage for over 25 years. And Chima over 15 years. And Hokitea over 5 years. And Burundi, Africa over 10 years. Because as you stay, you get a chance to build. It's just like being part of a church. As you are part of a church and you invest and you spend time and you grow, things begin to build and they begin to multiply because there's a stick-to-it nature. And that's a part of all of our ministries that we seek to work with together. If you're with us for the first time, what we've been thinking about in this month of February, in this series called It's About Love, is thinking about the church. And how does the church impact the world? And we're looking at it as if we love Jesus, we must love His church. And if we love the church, we must love Jesus. We've talked about this inseparable nature of Jesus and the church. And when you love Him, you're going to be a part of church. In fact, there's nowhere in the Bible that speaks about someone loving Jesus and not being a part of His church. It can't happen, right? Our modern culture kind of tells us, I can have this thing going on with Jesus, but I don't need His church. That's actually a false teaching. It's heretical. To love Jesus is to be a part of His church, and to be a part of His church is to love Jesus. It's the place we mature. It's the place we grow. It's the place that looks like the church on earth is it will be in heaven. Now, as we begin to think about the nature of the church, there's all kinds of things that we might not like about church. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you ever didn't like something about church, because it would be all of us, right? You know, because the church is, look around. There's always people we don't like too much, right? And the church on earth is about people. And the bottom line is, we're a mess. Thank goodness Jesus came to save us. You know, when I was a kid, I just didn't like church. I thought church was pretty boring. I know none of you are ever bored on a Sunday morning when I'm preaching. You're wide awake. I'm looking at you. I'm watching you. You can't fall asleep because I'm looking at you. Okay? When I grew up in church, church was kind of boring. We didn't have all these awesome children's ministries that you could go be a part of. I had to sit in church with my mom and listen to this boring sermon that I thought. And the worst part of church for me growing up was the general prayer. Right? And the general prayer was when the pastor finished preaching and then he prayed for it seemed like 30 minutes. Right? And as a kid, it's like going on and on and on and on. Now, this is particularly difficult when your father was the pastor. Because he could see me in church, and I knew what the evil eye meant. So you're trying to pay attention even when you were kind of bored. But I think about today, what would happen if I just kind of left? Oh, this is boring. I don't like it. I think I'll just stay home or that person, you know, kind of offended me or whatever. You know, I would have never grown to mature in Christ because you don't do that by yourself. It takes pressure, it takes challenge, it takes relationship in order to grow in Christ. In fact, when I was a kid, I had no idea that you needed to talk to people that you love. I just thought prayer was boring. I had no understanding how much my dad loved Jesus. And because he loved Jesus, he prayed. He talked to Jesus. You know, you can't know that until you fall in love with Jesus. And all of a sudden you begin to mature and say, whoa, man, now I could pray for days because I love Jesus. But back then, it just seemed boring. You see, to love Jesus is to love His church. To love the church is to love Jesus. And as we kind of mature in Christ, we realize, you know, it's not so much about me. It's not so much about what I like or don't like. It's not so much about whether that person's there or not there. It's not so much about what the leadership's doing or not doing or what the church is doing in mission or not doing and what I would like or what I don't like. It's about Jesus. Isn't that a novel idea? Because the church, the Bible says, is the bride of Christ. It's the beautiful, made holy by the blood of Jesus on the cross that you and I even get the privilege to sit in the room and be associated with the Holy One we call Jesus. That's the church. And when I'm a part of His body, I'm a part of His church. There's nothing in the Bible you can read that doesn't look at the church as plural. It's not me and Jesus, it's we and Jesus, because we need one another. So through this month, that's what we've been thinking about. If you missed some of those, go online, dive in. Pastor Kyle was sharing last couple weeks when I was in Guatemala. I was really thankful I had him preaching last week when the plane didn't show up. And he just brought some awesome messages. We dove into each of these and what it looks like. Today, I want us to have us think about love and purpose. We talked about love and sacrifice. We talked about being better together. We talked about inseparability. Today, I want to talk about how love develops purpose. When you love someone, it begins to bring about action and purpose in your life. You begin to look at life a little different, and you begin to live a little bit different. When that famous passage, John 3:16, that you see at all the ball games they raise up, says, God so loved the world, because He so loved, not the stuff of the world, but you and me in the world, it's about people, right? It's always about people. When God so loves us in the world, it changed the purpose. God formed from the beginning of time a way by which He might save you and me. That He would send His Son Jesus into the world to show us the way and the truth and the life. That He would send His perfect Son without sin that could forgive our sin and pay the price of sin. That would form the bridge between our sinful nature and this holy God and allow us to live with Him forever. Love developed a purpose. It developed an action. See, when we love Jesus, we love the church. We love the church, we love Jesus. And it begins to form a purpose in our lives that plays out in really critical action steps. It gets us involved and we become a part of it in really neat and powerful ways. There's a passage in Scripture, Luke 19:10, where Jesus shares, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Sound like purpose? Right? When someone's lost, they don't know the way home. So what does somebody have to do? We have to go seek them, you know? We were filled with sin. God saw our need. God sent His Son to seek us so that we could have a chance to come to Him. When we think about reaching the lost, it's not enough to just pray for them. We must what? Seek them. In fact, the prayer, when I'm praying, when I love people enough and I'm praying for them to come to know Jesus, that prayer convicts my soul and moves it into purpose and action that I then begin to represent and talk about Jesus to people who don't know Him. See, that's critical. That's what makes it really begin to happen. Love creates a purpose. That beautiful passage where Jesus says the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost comes in the context of Jesus going to the home of Zacchaeus. Some of you may have heard of Zacchaeus. He was a chief of tax collectors in the New Testament. In the days of tax collection in the first century, it meant that you made a living by price gouging the people that you were collecting taxes from, which means you took what was needed for Caesar, but you also took what was needed for you, and sometimes that was a whole lot. The tax collectors didn't have a whole lot of friends because they were always stealing from them. You know, it's kind of hard to be a friend of somebody stealing from you, right? And Zacchaeus got very wealthy that way. He cheated a lot of people. There was a day that Jesus was coming down the road where Zacchaeus lived. And Zacchaeus, the Bible says, was a small man. I mean, if you grew up in Sunday school like I did, you might have learned some songs. We learn them in children's ministry here. And it's always interesting the songs we learn because, see, the right brain is always holds on to stuff the left brain can't. And a lot of it's music, right? So here we get this music where Zacchaeus is this wee little man. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Anybody relate to me on that? You might have to be old to get that. But it tells us he's a little bit small in stature. So when Jesus comes, he climbs up in a tree so he can see over the crowd and see Jesus. He desperately wants to see him. Why? We're not really sure. Maybe he wanted a friend and he didn't have any friends. But anyway, when Jesus comes down the road, Jesus knows everything about Zacchaeus. So he looks up at Zacchaeus in a tree and he says, "Hey, Zach, you want to have dinner tonight?" And Zach's like, "Whoa, me, yeah, look at me. I'm going home with Jesus." So he made a telephone call, probably a runner, ran to his house, told those who were servants in his house, probably lived in a nice, beautiful, big place, "Hey, fix dinner, Jesus is coming." All about Zacchaeus. See, Zacchaeus had a purpose. And that purpose was all about Zacchaeus. That purpose was, how much money can I earn? And how much can I be me in the world? That was it. That was his purpose. That was his design. He had no love for God, had no love for Jesus. He only had a love for himself. That's where most of us start. And then Jesus comes. Jesus enters the stage. He comes and has dinner with Zacchaeus. We don't know what all those conversations are about, but we know that Zacchaeus must have fell in love with Jesus because we hear a different purpose. At the end of that passage, the Bible reads that Zacchaeus said, "I will repay everybody that I have cheated," a lot of people, "four times." He's not only going to repay them, that's reconciliation. He's going to bless them four times of what he stole. Don't you wish he had stolen from you? And then he goes on to say, on top of that, I'm going to give away half of everything that I have. That's a lot. See, we talk about tithing is 10%, is giving God the first 10%, is priority, right? Zacchaeus says, "I'm going to give away half of everything I have to the poor." Only Jesus can make that kind of change in the purpose of your life. Believe me. That time with Jesus, that encounter, shifted everything for him. He fell in love with Jesus. He fell in love with the mission of Jesus in the world, and he became a part of it. See, to love Jesus, to love his church, to love the church is to love Jesus. And it shows out in the purpose and design of our lives. We see here a mission statement. We have it on the wall. You see it on the screen. It talks about the very same thing that Zacchaeus experienced. CTK's mission is to connect all people to who? The life-giving message of Jesus. And we want them to experience God. That's what happened that day. They experienced God. And he fell in love with God. And when that, he found a freedom. What did he find the freedom from? Himself, right? The first thing we had to get freedom from is our own self. We're the ones that capture us into being boxed in and closed the impossibilities of Jesus. But boy, God, with all things are possible. And he discovered a purpose. And he made a difference in the world. It's powerful. You see, to love Jesus changes our purpose, and that purpose begins to be an action, and it shifts and changes in our lives. Let's look a little bit more at his purpose. You'll see in 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter, is speaking to the early church. He's talking to them as I'm talking to you today, and he says this, "You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple." This is the NLT version. It might be a different one on the screen, but NLT version. "Who is the living cornerstone of the temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor." So hear who Jesus is. You look at that scripture. He is the cornerstone. There's no church that belongs to Jesus in the world, Christianity, that belongs to any individual other than Jesus. I don't care who you're watching and who you're looking at. It all is to him and to his glory. He is the cornerstone. We can only build on him. So therefore, the truth of the gospel, the word of the gospel, must always be the foundation, who is Jesus Christ. That's why the church exists. When you're part of the church, you love Jesus. Love Jesus, you love the church. They're inseparable in how we look at it. He goes on to say, And you, now he's talking to us, you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What does that tell you a little bit about the purpose of the church? It says God's shaping us. It's God's moving in us. And it's because we are the collective together, the church is always plural, remember that. God is moving and he's shaping, he's building this spiritual temple. Now, any of you ever tried to build with stone before? None of you in this room. We don't build with a lot of stone in America. We build with wood or brick or block or all kinds of things that decay. And my house isn't going to be around in 1,000 years. But you look over in the ancient Midwest when they're building with stones, they got pyramids and things that's still lasting 2,000-3,000 years later. Because it's built with stone. But it was never built with the stone just picked up and stuck together. All those walls have fallen down. The ones that are lasting are the ones that were carved. Someone took a stone, they chiseled it, they formed it, they put it in place. They chiseled it, formed it, put another one down. Chiseled it, formed it, put another one down. And then they begin to build a house of stone or a temple. A temple is the place where God dwells, right? So what's God doing in your life? What God is doing in your life right now, He's shaping you. He's chiseling away. He's forming this church as a spiritual temple. Now, why is that important? If this church was just a pile of stones, it would have already crashed down. And sadly, sometimes what the world sees is a church built of people that are not carved by Jesus. And therefore, it looks really messy. It starts crumbling down, starts falling apart because people come in and they're not allowing themselves to be built by Jesus as living stones. That's a work of the church. That's how I would have remained as a kid had I seen church in the way I saw it as a kid and never gone back. It's by being in the community that God is shaping and forming every one of us to be raised up as a spiritual temple. We want people to walk into this place. We want people to walk into our lives. We want people to experience a temple, which means the place where God dwells. That's what He's building. That's a collective, right? That's all of us together. That means that every one of us being a living stone matter in the framework of the building. Understand this. If you're sitting here today going, I don't matter, think again. God is building a spiritual temple with you. You matter. You are a stone in the building. And God is shaping you for significance. That's the church. It's the collective. There's no such thing as one stone sitting in somebody's house all by themselves believing they're the church. It doesn't exist biblically. It doesn't exist today. It's only in our mindset. To love Jesus is to love the church. To love the church is to love Jesus. But look at what Peter goes on to say. He says, what more? You are a holy priest, which means that God has cleansed you. God has forgiven you. God is making you holy. We certainly can't make ourselves holy. But He says you're a priest. Congratulations. You're now all ordained. You know the Bible says that Jesus was the great high priest? And the Bible says to the Hebrew people of old, they were a kingdom of priests. And Peter talks about we're a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Why all this as the church? That's purpose, right? To be a priest, priest literally means to be a bridge builder. When we say Jesus is a great high priest, it means that He built a bridge from our sinful brokenness over to a holy God. And the only way we get over here is to cross the bridge of Jesus. In our world today, when you and I live as a bridge builder, sometimes the only way people come to see Jesus, accept His mission, change with His life, is when we seek and save the lost, that we literally become the bridge by which somebody else knows Jesus and finds heaven. If you thought your life isn't significant, think again. He says, what more? You're a holy priest. Claim the purpose, the design. For Zacchaeus, he saw it immediately. His life changed, his purpose changed. And he goes on, he says, through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. That's an offering. Spiritual sacrifice. Before this, Zacchaeus knew no sacrifice because it was all about him. After encountering Jesus, a sacrifice means I give up something important for something more important. Zacchaeus gave up building his own life for building the life of others. That's what sacrifice does. And that's when it becomes spiritual because it's the mediation of God. Only God can turn our attention off ourselves and onto someone else. That's the miracle of God, to move us from our selfishness to a godly life. He did it with Zacchaeus, and he'll do it with us. That's the chipping and that's the molding. That's the shaping that takes place in our lives. Let's look at one more aspect of purpose. 1 Timothy 3, Paul's talking to his protege, Timothy. Timothy's going to be a young pastor. And he says, he's writing to him, and he says this, I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that. I've talked about that before. I want you to go back to Timothy and learn even more. How do I want to live? What's my character living in this body of Christ? What I want to hit this is this, the last phrase. This is the church, plural, of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Hear that purpose? We need to grab hold of this. The reason that Marilyn and I tithe first priority of our giving to the church, and then we share offerings to ministries all over the world, is because the church is the only organization on the face of the earth that is the pillar and foundation of truth. It's not in any government. It's not in any culture. It's only there. Jesus created the church to carry forth the truth of the gospel. The church is the cradle, and guess what? We are the church. It means that we harbor in our lives for the sake of sharing with others what is the truth of the gospel. The reality is we live in a situational ethic world. And what do I mean by that? It means that whatever my situation is, I'm going to form the ethics or the ethos of confirming what I believe. Sounds very similar to 3,500 years ago in the era of the judges in the Old Testament when God's people began to stray away from God's commands and God's ways. God began to raise up the judges. And in that time, the famous phrase that was said is, everyone is right in their own eyes. God raised up judges. The same is true today. That's why God raised up the church. The church has a purpose. It doesn't mean that we want to agree with that truth. It doesn't mean that that truth sometimes won't make us a little uncomfortable sitting in the seats. Believe me, I've been teaching this passage months before you're ever hearing it. And I have to come face to face with the reality of the truth of God, whether I like it or not. What Peter is confirming is there is a place of truth, and it is Jesus. You and me as the church carry that purpose. So we might think that our purpose is shown in the place we work, the career that we're in, the opportunities we get. No. Those are the locations in which you live out your purpose, which is to connect, seek and save the lost, and to carry within this spiritual temple, you and me, the foundation of the truth of the gospel, so that people will give their lives to Christ and be saved. Isn't that awesome? To love Jesus, to love His church, to love the church is to love Jesus. So I gave you in your outline of some things just to hold with through the week. If I was to summarize this, I would say love forms the purpose of the church. One, to build up, form the stones, to build bridges to the lost so that they would know God, to offer our best, that's our giving, it's our serving, it's our prayer, it's our praise, all these things we've been talking about all month. To offer our best for God's kingdom purposes on earth, and to be a pillar of truth in a world of shifting values. That's the purpose. Love creates action, creates purpose. All month long, we've had a chance to walk through this 2025 commitment card. On that aspect, we've looked at this card, and they're in your seat rack. You can pull one out. I want to encourage you to respond in whatever way God's calling you to respond. There's some offering baskets up front. When you come up for communion, you can put that card in it. Fill it out, put it in it. But we've been talking about what does it mean to commit to praise. Praising God for who He is. Praising God for who He's created you to be. Praising God for His protection over you. All those things we've talked about. Praising God for how the Holy Spirit is moving in you. We've talked about giving. And how love causes us to plan, how love causes us to sacrifice for others, how love causes us to prioritize, to put first fruit for Him, how love causes us to care and give offering to other people, serving, how love says, I want to know how best God wants me to serve. I want to understand my gifts. I want to use my gifts for God's kingdom. I want to be on that wall as Nehemiah was building the wall of Jerusalem. And he put each family at a place on the wall and said, that section of the wall is yours. That's what serving's like in the church. No one can take your section away because you're it. And the more you get skilled in how God created you, formed you, shaped you, and is going in against that part of the wall, it allows the enemy not to break through. And it allows a spiritual temple to be built and share with the world and prayer. What I share with you in all month, we talked about in this prayer, we use that little acronym called ACTS, adoration, praising God. But when you're praising Him, it makes you thankful. We confess to God. We constantly pray confession. We want to be right with God because He will forgive us and cleanse us. We talk about thanksgiving, the T in Acts. We want to live lives of thankfulness because the Bible tells us to. And there's so many things that we can be thankful for. It shifts our perspective. Supplication is that last part. And it simply is a long word for saying, I'm going to pray for you, pray for me, let's pray for the world. I've been getting texts and emails from our pastor in Africa and Burundi, Africa, poorest country in the world, Congo, if you watch any of the news, going through crisis in Congo, so they're all running to Burundi. There's not enough food in Burundi, and now people start, it's just crazy saying, pray for us, please. That's supplication, that's praying for the needs of others. What I ask you to do, let's take this seriously, because this is love in action. It's about love, right? It's about the difference. We shared with you also a card that we wanted you to take home. There's more in the seat today, and this card is outlined on the screen. It's all the ministry that CTK is about in a large setting. And during the month of February, what I'd like to share with you is just to open your eyes that what you do matters. The ministers we've talked about internally, worship, teaching, hospitality, connections, care, administrative, all those things we talk about, they exist because you're the church and I'm the church. Without praise, giving, service, and prayer, none of them. Just wipe them off the screen. None of them exist. We talked about all these ways of local outreach, the way that people's lives are changed in radical ways. And today, we wanted to look a minute at international outreach and what that looks like and what that means. Burundi, Africa, Guatemala, Slovakia, feeding ministries, partnering with La Promesa School, all those aspects of ministries. You know, I was looking at those ministries and those churches and just factored out some numbers. And, you know, I'm kind of a numbers guy sometimes, and it helps me quantify the impact of God sometimes because God's well beyond all of it. But as I look at these churches that CTK has planted and is a part of, you, this whole church, over 1,500 people every single Sunday are worshiping God. Over 350 kids every single Sunday are gathered in the household of God learning about Jesus. Over 250 students every single Sunday are gathered together being empowered and strengthened in the gospel to walk for Him. Millions of dollars are shared every single week through the ministry of this church to impact people, feeding ministries, building ministries, all kinds of things. And get this, over 200 people have given their lives to Christ in 2024. It's huge. It's huge. I share this simply because you need to know the church matters. To love Jesus, to love the church. This is just one church. There are a lot of awesome churches all over Charlotte. This is just one church. One church. This church. Just one. And you see the multiplying impact around the world because of faithfulness, because of love. Burundi, Africa. Some of you aren't even aware. I want to just introduce you real quick. Show this picture. That's Grace Church in Burundi, Africa. They worship about 900 people Sunday. We had a revival there. Over 1,500 people came. The people on the stage that you see, they're getting baptized. Incredible move of God in the poorest country in the world. God can take whatever he's got. Next picture you'll see, Pastor Eric, these are the people that have come forward to give their lives to Christ just on that one given Sunday. You're part of that. We mentor, we support, we encourage, we visit with them. Guatemala, you heard, or let me go to Harvest Ministries. Harvest Ministries we're part of through Javesca Feeds, which is the cafe out here. Javesca Feeds, there's thousands of kids every single day. I want you to get this. Thousands of kids every single day that drink that cup of porridge that Feeds provides, and it's a matter whether they live or die. We don't think that way. We have food. They don't. Okay? We just have to soak in a minute that it matters, okay? They line up waiting for it once a day. Take a look at this next. You saw those earlier, didn't you? Shoes. You can't eat them, but you sure can't wear them. And I got some pictures of some feet around Hokitio that you said, man, I'd have wished there were shoes on those feet. Casa Bernabe Orphanage. This is La Promesa School. And the church, Christelle Ray Church, the church is named after this church. The building behind that you see, they built in 3 weeks just to get out of the rain. We hope to be a part of helping them build a church in mid-March to early to mid-April. We'd like to raise some funds to help that church actually become a permanent building and not something you throw up in 3 weeks to get out of the rain. But see, isn't that church beautiful? That's the church. They were gathered outside. We were preaching on Sunday morning. Let's go to the next one. That's Pastor Erica teaching, and the food is provided for people in the community. That's your international mission. You're part of that. They belong to you. They love you. They pray for you and pray for us. Move on. This is Cambodia. Every single day, those kids at that school rely on the feeding that comes from Javesca to eat. They thank you, and they love you, and they pray for you. Remarkable. See, you're touching lives. The church is global. In the book of Acts, it says in Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. These are the kids at La Promesa School. And you'll see the building that's going up, that Matthew 25:40, which started out of this church. Go to that next slide, if you will, is building now. Isn't that awesome? Over $400,000 has been raised through Matthew 25:40, which is a nonprofit, that these kids can get out of the caltros and actually have a school. But it hadn't stopped them from learning just because they're sitting in a place where the cattle used to be and they cleaned out the poop so they have a place to sit. It literally is like that. They're going to get a school because you care. I could go on and on and on. All I want to do in the month of February is for you to fall more in love with Jesus, fall more in love with his church, and to understand that as you're a living stone in his church, you matter. Guard that wall. Pour it out. God will always provide. And sometimes stop and think of the difference you make. Because we know the difference Jesus has made in us. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love and your blessing. We thank you for all that you've poured down on us, for all that we get the chance to do spiritual sacrifices, to live within your church and with your kingdom agenda, that you've changed us like you did one like Zacchaeus, and you allow us to be your people in the world. We are so grateful. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name.